Hi, I'm Josh, and the other day I tried to pick up a machete and go back to Africa on a motherfucker, but then I realized that actually my people are from Italy, so I ate some spaghetti instead.
Oh, well,
Species two.
glad you worked that out.
Oh, crap. I was going to make a Species 2 joke.
Go for it. We make the rules here.
Hi, I'm Matt. And, no, that's fine. I will adapt it to a Species 3 joke on the fly. Watch, I will make adapt it into a Species 1 joke on the fly.
That's evolution is what that is.
I'd like y'all to know that I don't like to be called Species 1. I prefer to be called Species Prime. And I can transform.
It's just more than
and that's the form you're stuck with.
Well, I mean...
That's like if I had two faces, like, do you think I'd be wearing this one?
let's see here. This is Charlie down in Austin. I've probably mentioned this before on the show, but like, I have so little patience for when people like talk about like, dreams and interpreting dreams and stuff like that. Like, I just found it awful. Like, it's so irritating. I don't really like it. But when people mention the thing like, oh, I was having this dream and I woke up and I was like, damn it. Why would I have to wake up from that dream or whatever else? And so after the movies this week or whatever else, I did have one of those dreams you didn't want to wake up from with it. Had a special appearance by Natasha Henstridge. Because in terms of the world of credits, special appearance by in a film is just breathtaking as a credit.
It's pretty great.
It's pretty awesome.
And tonight we're taking you back to the time when Michael Madsen gave a shit on horror show hot dog. So first we have vicious or viciosa. By the way, you know what the last vowel sound in the word vicious is? It's a vicious schwa. I love the look on somebody's face. They're like, oh, are you asking an interesting question? Like, nope. Just making a dumb joke.
Sliding sweet. Right by it.
Yeah, so vicious is, it's funny. It's a 12-minute variant on Lights Out, basically.
Without ever really feeling like the ones... we've watched a lot of shorts that go, oh, you're remaking Lights Out.
Yeah.
This one, I guess, you can see some of that. And there were a couple more.
You better
be careful, because if you do the thing I think you might be about to do, you're just really going to be making me angry because I love Lights Out. And they didn't. Mm-hmm. Like, they never quite did the thing that would have pissed me off. But it is...
There's, like, one shot of the turning off the light, and the person is... The thing is just like... Ding,
and again, ding, ding. That's fair, because that's also a thing that predates Lights Out. So. Sure.
No, I don't mean to say that, like, nobody can do it since Lights Out did it. I mean that this is this one takes a form that is very familiar, which is the, like, person in the house and seeing something, not sure if it's a thing, in the bedroom and turning on and off the lights, that kind of thing. But it manages, at least for me, to generate some really genuine tension and make some really smart choices. And by the end of it, like, I will forgive them just having the person launch at the camera at the end. Like, I thought they earned it.
Like, it's, and this is the thing, we talked briefly when Josh showed up here. We haven't had a chance to talk about it yet, Charlie, so I'll be curious to see what you think. But like, before we even get into much more about what I thought about it, is this not, like, as... And I don't mean this as an insult. This is, like, the most formulaic series of lone in the house, supernatural monster jump scares you could ever see. I feel like they make sure they hit every single trope, and it still worked for me. Like, what did you think of that, Charlie?
I think that's very accurate. I think they do kind of go down the checklist. I wonder if what makes it work, I don't know if you guys think this, but this one feels like it was set up or kind of orchestrated or assembled or shot or edited or whatever with that higher bar in mind.
I bet it was all of those things.
Well, I mean, I think it was set with a higher bar in mind. Like, if this feels more like a movie. Like, this doesn't feel... I gotta be careful how I say this, but, like, it just sort of... It doesn't feel as low rent as some shorts that are good that I like. It just feels more like a movie. You know, like the...
Well, no, sometimes you can tell, like, okay, they had the idea, and they realized they could slap it together that weekend. Mm-hmm. And that's as far as it went.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think, like, there were meetings, and...
Yeah, I mean, know, like, when
was,
you watch...
There was a long editing post-production, like...
Well, because there's a lot of really good... There's a lot of really good low-budget shorts, but then there's also stuff like the... the eye nanny, and mm-hmm. He took his skin off for me, and you know, dog food, and ones that are just of a cinematic quality that they just have that look, you know. And this just feels like maybe it is formula. Maybe not. Maybe you're exactly right to say that it is. Has hit those formulaic things, but because it seems to feel more cinematic, then maybe you just kind of roll with it a little bit. You know, maybe that's what it is. Also, that house, those angles. I don't know if this is maybe one of their houses or maybe they rented it, or I don't really know what the story is there, but
it's like bonkers.
There's those angles, and I've been in houses like that. Like, there was a place that we were staying when my friend Justice got married last year when we were in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. This is old, like, row house. It's like a 3-story thing that we rented for Justice's wedding. Surprising how cheap things are to rent in Pennsylvania to go stay at. But it had those things. You go up one stairway and you kind of turn, and just like out of your eye line, there's like multiple lines and a little hallway here and a little rail that way. And it's just, you're constantly going, you know, because it's constantly out of your eye line, you know?
Yeah, Megan and I had that moment of watching it where she comes upstairs, turns the corner on the banister, and then steps down 2 stairs and then back up 4 stairs.
Yeah.
And she's like, did she just go down a thing? And then I'm like, I think she did. And then you realize that the molding follows.
That house is ridiculous.
It's like, what purpose?
But it reminds me of the house in Charlie, the Luc Mordu one that we did for Twin Cities last year.
Mm. Oh, okay.
And it's just like very narrow house, was probably one giant house that got duplexed and they just built a wall up the middle of it.
Something like that. Yeah. Like, it would have been a house that became a boarding house after the fact. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. When, like, the whatever family that was wealthy enough to build it no longer could afford it. You know? Like, or something. You know what I mean? Like, the kind of thing would be in a Lovecraft story. Like, you know, the family came for money, but had lately the name had fallen into disrepair. And now it was, you know, so-and-so lived in the attic and then they rented rooms to boarders and then it would get racist. And walls, like, but yeah, it definitely, yeah, it's got that weird, like, no one would do this on purpose. Mm.
You know? Some of the camera movement in this is just legit as fuck, though. You get the, like,
for sure,
floating up through the stairwell kind of stuff. And
when they go POV because of the flashlight on the phone, I was like, that is the strongest choice for a POV I've seen in a while, where we're already thinking in that way because we've all had to do that walking around. Yeah. And the fact that you give us the little wiggly camera for that is like, that's a very smart choice and is only used for that little bit, so it's not, you know.
Also, disgusting. Having the ghost call her. I really want that to happen more often in movies now that there's tech.
And then and again, like I said, this is so formulaic. Like, Megan and I sat here and we would just kind of take turns calling the shot.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're like, oh, you're going to turn the light off and you're going to see a thing. You're going to, oh, I bet you lock the front door with keys instead of just a twist knob, which means later when you run out, you're not going to be able to open the door because your keys are somewhere. You know, and
you watch her go fish for those
keys. And it's the best. And then you go, but like the one that just wrecked me, that was like exactly what I wanted, because it's this was, you know, twisting a knife in a childhood fear, which is that thing of laying in bed as a kid and seeing the coat rack or the pile of clothes on the chair and pareidolia making you think it's a monster. And then, you know, like reaching for the light, and of course it's fine. But as a kid, for me at least, that light stayed on. If I was even brave enough to reach out of the safety of the blankets to turn the light on instead of just screaming for mom until she came in.
Right.
And then she kind of has that, like, okay. And then, you know, starts to reach for the light. And I'm like, if that exact same shape we've been looking at doesn't now turn to look at her, I will be, that will be the biggest missed opportunity. And I might completely just lose all suspension and disbelief for this. And click, light goes off, and immediately there's this slight turn, and you can see how the form was exactly what she thought it was, but was exactly legitimized by mundane bullshit stuff. And I was like, yes, that is still like my worst nightmare.
Is amazing, yeah.
That scene is particularly troubling. Like, that was really, really cool. And I should point out too, our lead here, our protagonist, is really holding it down, I think, with, you know, she technically has like the ghost in a monster to play off of, but it's basically a one-woman show, and I think she really sells it very well.
Well, yeah,
structure-wise, having the nightmare like the waking up in the night and going to comfort Katie in her room, which is a flashback, mm-hmm. but is enfolded into her dream. I thought that was a really neat yeah. way to structure the thing. So, what do you got, Charles?
Oh, I was just going to say, I like the, I guess you can kind of describe it as like the bummer ending or whatever else, but I was thinking like, I like the idea that you have the kind of the tragedy of, you know, the kind of lost sister and whatever, you know, that's a sad thing, sort of a pitiable character, but like the idea that sort of some evil force, you know, poltergeisty, you know, whatever, just doesn't really care. It's like, it doesn't matter. We don't care. It doesn't matter to me. It don't matter to Jesus. You know, like it just doesn't matter. And I just think, mm-hmm. it's kind of, it's mean, but I like it. You know, it's sort of like this idea that like, you know, it's like some evil force, but like, well, I just, you know, we're going to totally get her, but then like, eh, you know, like she said this thing with her sister and we should probably let her alone. We should go down a couple doors, see what those people are up to. It's just kind of like, I like this idea that like, even though it's a sad situation, you don't get a pass.
Yeah.
Which I think is cool.
Yeah, it's, I kept being surprised. Like I said, I got goosebumps like 4 times watching this.
Yeah.
Oh. And because you can describe, like, if we were to sit and just walk it through the plot point by point, you'd be like, well, duh, I've seen all those things a million times, and yet it works. And, you know, I think it is just, like, there's craft and art and attention here, and strong performances, strong camera work. I really actually like the lighting. There's that shot in the hallway with our protagonist standing, like, at her end of the hall, kind of looking towards her sister's room, getting the view kind of across the hall from the sister's room side.
Yeah.
It is the most washed out, pale, white thing you've ever seen, and her skin is just alabaster on the alabaster of all the building. And I was like, Jesus, is this thing just blanched? It looks like, you know, bones in a desert after months, you know? And, like, really interesting choices for that. And, yeah, so I guess we can wrap on this. I absolutely think you should watch this. I think this is great. And, again, if you're the type of person that listens to this show or, you know, and watches horror shorts, you probably are well-versed in the genre. And so I think I'd like to hear what people think because, it is, like I said, it was surprising to go, I can see everything you're doing here, but goddamn, you're doing it well. You know, it was like making the best grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah.
Not exactly surprising, but comforting.
Trying to think what movie it was. One of the like 500 that we watched for the show. That narrows it down.
Yeah.
Where I was sitting there going, I know everything that this thing is trying to do. And I'm like half rolling my eyes at it. But I'm also real scared and don't want to go up the stairs when I'm done.
The Last Shift, yeah. Maybe?
No, I really liked Last Shift.
Yeah.
I think it was Downstairs was one of them, the short.
Sure. Yeah.
Where I was just like, oh, come on, that was so dumb. I mean, shit. I really don't want to get out of this chair now.
That was so dumb. Guys, that was so dumb.
Yeah.
I'm cool. I'm going to go upstairs.
It didn't scare me.
I'm very lonesome now. It was dumb. And you're like, oh, here comes the false bravado.
So, needless to say, I think that you should watch this as well.
Yes, I agree.
You say, Charlie?
Yes, I agree. I think it's good. Oh, and then so also, I at some point I'm going to figure out what festival I saw this at, because I had seen this before. And I told Kristen,
oh.
I'm like,
oh, really?
I'm like, I do not remember where I saw this, but I'd seen it before, I just don't remember where. So I'm like, Now it's a mystery. Like, I gotta, like, come on, little old man with a little library card in my head, like, find that data. And I was like, I'll get back to you. Oh, shit.
Yeah, if you remember what movie I'm talking about or where Charlie saw that short, please let us know.
Yeah.
And also,
Charlie's phone rings and like, it was Fantastic Fest 2 years ago. Like, we haven't even released the episode. We haven't even finished the episode.
And also 7 days. And also that chattery, staticky thing that they do on Stranger Things. Freak out! Can't not do
Did
that.
You watch Stranger Things?
We're to episode 6.
I'm only 2 episodes deep because I don't have time to watch anything, but I'm loving it. And so
it's really good. Yeah. Although it's very funny
Continue
because
loving it.
My darling child is growing into a cinephile and really liking a lot of horror stuff. What I let him watch and different.
The hell you say?
But we can only do like one episode at a time because he gets a little too nerved out. He's just like, that's a little much. He's like, can we just pause it? We'll just do a stress break. How about a stress break? Kid, that's all right. And it's like, it's great. It's really, really cool. I like it. I like it quite a bit. I think it's well done. I'm very curious to see how they pull all this shit together.
It's so good. Spoiler alert. So good.
And also the music is boss. So I love the music. Oh, it's great. Pretty great, great.
You know what I thought was pretty good?
But.
What's that?
Species.
Yes, man.
I kind of hate to admit it, but yeah.
Yeah, it's great. It's fucking great.
I kind of hated it.
Like, you know, cards on the table. The third one gets a little loosey-goosey, but the first one I just legit love. It is fun. It's like a monster movie with like nudity and gore. Like a 50s monster movie with nudity and gore. And it's like, well, thank you.
It kind of is, but it's also just like people, like it, just every time they introduce a character, you're like, the fuck? Like Ben Kingsley,
Kingsley, Michael Madsen, and Forrest Whitaker.
And Mark Helgeland.
And then you watch all of them have nothing to work with.
Yeah.
This is some of the worst dialogue we've seen in
the dialogue gets worse in two. That's the thing. Like, if you compare the two. No, it does.
But even in this first one, I was like, we're literally watching, like, Mr. Blonde, Gandhi, and the Last King of Scotland have a conversation CSI. That I could not care less about. Like,
and it's not Alfred Molina.
Alfred Molina. Jesus Christ, that's right.
This is the kind of movie that you forget Alfred Molina's in.
But that's the problem, is that, like, I was really enjoying this movie, but it is a schlock fest.
Oh, it sure is.
That is marketing itself as, like, one of those, like, Skinamax thrillers with just enough horror to not be considered too raunchy, maybe? But, like, and again, that's why, like, the only reason I knew this movie existed is because, like, oh, it's the one with all the boobs, dude. You gotta rent that one with the boobs. Back when they had to rent movies to see boobs.
Right.
But it is really fun, Charlie, you're right. Because if you let the plot be enough and people running around, it's great. If you actually, like, listen to the dialogue in the scenes, you go, this is some utter bullshit nonsense, and these people are saying impossible things, and they look like they're suffering trying to get through some of these lines. And you know what? Fine. You just kind of roll with that, and then you can start to kind of ironically enjoy that, while still kind of genuinely enjoying watching them hunt a weird sex monster.
You're laughing with the movie, and you're laughing at the dialogue.
Yeah.
But, like, for me, it was fun just to see, like, Michael Madsen.
Is this, like, pre or post Reservoir Dogs?
Yeah,
post,
right? This is 95, so that would have been.
But just to see him, like, happy and full of energy.
Yeah.
And being kind of charming, even.
Oh, sure.
No, kind of putting it in there. That's when it's, you know, like, Michael Madsen could have, you know, with slight differences, he could have been a leading man for 40 years.
Yeah.
And been just, that kind of, like, you know, all right, he's got a decent jaw, you know, he's got the charm, he's got the voice that, you know, when he turns it on, like, work, that's like.
He's got some chemistry with Mark.
He does, and it's just like,
And then meanwhile, Forrest Whitaker is on their task force because he's, like, Counselor Troy, basically.
He's basically an empath,
yeah.
Which, and I love, like, well, prove it. You act tough. But really, you're scared. And it's like, fucking, that is some Wednesday afternoon horoscope in the local free newspaper level of.
I'm thinking, you have something in your life with a name sort of A, B,
yeah.
C, D. You make it down to Q and you're like, you got it.
All right. Think of a number between 1 and 3.
I just love him, though, because his job is to roll up and tell people shit they already know.
Yeah, exactly. He's there to basically force people to admit shit that they know.
Half the time, it's like Kingsley says, she was here. And he goes, oh, yeah, she was here.
She was scared. It's like, we were shooting at her.
There were a couple of times when they're like, they roll up to the location and Kingsley just like, she was here. And Whitaker goes, yeah, she was here. She was definitely here. I sensed that she was here. Like,
and it's like, well, there are four, you know, bifurcated. Like, you know, by the way, speaking of her being places and them chasing after, because that is essentially what this is them trying to find her. She escapes her lab. She escapes the lab. And, like, the first thing that is just, like, again, like a great example of the clunky dialogue is, like, they're at the train station near the lab.
Right.
Because it's in, like, Vegas or, like, Nevada somewhere in the middle of nowhere. And they're all like, she's on a train. She could be anywhere. But now I'm like, no, she fucking can't. You know what's slower than a train? Not goddamn much. And there's one way it goes.
How the fuck are we going to figure out where this train went?
And I was like,
this train, like, tiptoeing through the desert.
She escaped at, let's, yeah, like, oh, well, we know Syl escaped at 1207. It's now 2:45. Three trains have left. Now, if another train is arriving back here...
I was just going to say, like, a train leaves Chicago at 4:42.
That's tricky. But if you have to go, what trains departed from this station within the last 2 hours? My guess is four.
All
right. Ask the man with the funny hat, he'll tell you.
They go one place.
Maybe it's set in
and slowly. Maybe it's and they go, I want someone at every train station in the country. I'm like, no. You want every train station in the county. That's as far as she can get on a train.
Maybe this is set in the same universe as Don't Stop Believin', where you can take the midnight train going anywhere.
Perhaps. But eventually she's going to make her way east and get to the Rockies, and she'll need to switch to a Snowpiercer.
Right. Where she'll eat babies.
And then she gets stuck with the Donner Party and eventually might make it on that last train to Clarksville.
Okay, we're going off the rails.
Oh, come on, ride the train.
On a crazy train.
Come on, ride it.
Did I get a sense? Did I get like, was like a, I think a Drops of Jupiter in there somewhere? Was that, what was happening, Josh?
So to get to the meat, Virginia, of this discussion.
Yes. Oh, goodness. None of this is any good. This is going to be all aboard. Okay, so this is the, this is the one that's got that little flash where she has a little flash of like that Giger train business? That this one?
Oh, yeah. Giger train, love it.
Yeah, so yep. There's a documentary, I haven't brought up documentaries in a while, so you guys can't give me shit about it. There's a documentary called Dark Star about Giger, and it's really good. And it's really, really good. And yeah. It was one of the, towards the tail end of my writing reviews, I did a review of it. It was really good documentary. But he has this miniature train on his property.
It goes just past Dildos for Days.
It's just amazing. It's like every fucking thing. That's I just get on this little tiny train and go meandering through this fucking nightmare. But it was interesting to see that little shot of this train. I was just thinking like maybe this was just a, like, outside of all the other crazy crap he's into, he's also just sort of like, you know, kind of like model trains or whatever. Like, it's sort of, interesting sort of kind of crisscross of hobbies.
I like the idea that whatever he is into has to be creepy biomechanical thing.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, well, you know, like I build trains, like model trains. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, creepy, sexy biomechanical trains. Oh, okay, of course. What else do you do? Well, I like to play racquetball. Well, of course everybody does. Creepy, biomechanical, sexy racquetball. Like, well, naturally.
Sure. Of course.
Man's got to have his hobbies. I love also the fact that he paid for that scene. Like, they're like, hey, we got to scrap the crazy, sexy train thing. And he's like, no, I will pay the $100,000 for this scene. And so he did.
Yeah. He's a true original,
it's
that
like
man.
It is the Soul Train. It's like, we can't call it the Soul Train.
What was the thing? Oh, on the train. Oh, that's the thing. When she starts to change. In my notes, I describe that as tentacle extravaganza. Let's see. And we go back and forth here. Going back to the thing with the casting of the thing, Mark Helgenberger, like, she is the one who bears the brunt of the shittiest dialogue. Because, like, it's like, I have a very soft spot for her because I was huge fan of the original CSI for many seasons, even past what I probably should have. But, you know, the early seasons especially, like, I really love that show. And I have a big soft spot for her, but she is just given shit to say. Like, it just, how do you wrap your face around some of that dialogue? But, like, she's the one that drew the short straw, apparently. Because, like, you know, just God love her because she's doing her best.
No one is given a lot to work with. And I should point out, too, I think we all kind of said this, but, like, I know these people can act.
Oh, yeah. You
know? Like, I'm not holding it against any of them. Although, this did get us into an argument, Megan and I watching this, because I was like, it's Ben fucking Kingsley. That dude's amazing. And she's like, is he? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dude, he's, like, gone. And she goes, and that's it. And I go, that's not even a little bit of it. And so then we go back and forth, because it's not fun to go straight to the internet.
Right.
But eventually, you go to that. And then, you know, we go on the internet, and we read his IMDb, and we're going back and forth, going, okay, never heard of that. Okay, but that one, okay, fine, forget about that one. This one, oh, you're right, that one probably isn't as good as I was thinking. And we eventually reach the Kingsley Accord, which is that he may not always be in great movie stuff, but you know what? That dude is working his ass off, and it's constantly in shit. And has a career that any one of us would be envious to have in Hollywood, I believe. And we decided we could compromise on that.
Also known as the Jeremy Irons principle.
Yes.
Yeah, staff of death, the staff of power conundrum.
He can go completely Nick Cage when he wants to. So, you know, I don't think I've ever seen Kingsley just chew the scenery.
Iron Man 3?
That's not his fault.
Great. No, it's great. But, I mean, that his job was to chew the scenery. You know, and I thought he did a really good job in that. What's the other one? Oh, God, he did fucking...
Fucking
it's State Fair time up here, so I'm getting dumber.
What are you huffing cotton candy fumes? What are you doing?
the Love Guru. I was kept trying to say Austin Powers. I'm like, no, it's the other Mike Myers one. But he's like Buddha tugging my Buddha or something like that.
Right.
Something awful. And like, but that means like Duder showed up and did a stupid movie as a stupid character. Like, he's got a sense of humor about himself. So like, I respect that, you know. And no, he's probably not like the best, but like, I would die very happy with that career. So that was as far as we could get to reaching a court on that.
So Alfred Molina is also also appearing in this film.
He just kind of best guy. He's vesty academic. He
fucks around for a bit, looking weirdly like Stephen Ree.
He's not really given anything shitty to do. He's just not given much to do at all.
Yeah, he's just like occasionally shows up like,
because what is he? Is he the,
got the hots for Marg.
Is he the biochemist? No, what is he?
What did I say?
I can't remember why they had him. Wasn't he the evolutionary
empath,
guy?
Empath, fixer, and culturalist. Culturalist.
Culturalist.
Yeah.
That might be it.
I love that.
This is cultural. Thank you.
I mean, he exists to come back to his room and find a strangely aggressive, strange woman in there.
And bang her.
And go, well, I am a culturist. I'm the guy who's been assigned because I know about behavior. And we're looking for someone who is not, like, acting like peoples because they're not really peoples. But the chick we're looking for is blonde. So, hair color really can't change if you think about it. Therefore, the dick must get wet. And off he goes.
Yeah.
Right.
And off with his head.
Oh, another lovely little thing. That hotel sequence where they got the Sahara Motel. There's a scene in Neon Demon that's filmed at that same hotel.
Huh.
I'm like, oh, well, look at that.
Seen Neon Demon.
This is, I would say that Species is a better movie.
Huh.
Which is so weird to say.
This movie that, the only part about this movie that I don't really dig is the very end. When you just, like, dive headfirst into the 90s, and you have the shitty CGI monster that
and
keeps
here's the
popping
thing.
Up.
At first, the shitty CGI monster I thought looked decent. I was like, wow, they're actually doing this kind of sparingly.
Mm.
And, wow, okay, like, impressive, some restraint. And then 30 seconds went, oh.
Yeah, she just runs around all over the place.
At our Fearless meeting this week, this last week, I guess, you know, someone was asking me about some horror movie or something, and... like, what are you guys watching this week? Like, Species 1, 2, and 3? And everybody just goes, oh. And then, I think, nearly in unison, I think, like, Tim and maybe Pedantic Eric and, like, someone else go, prehensile nipples!
But that's like, more Species 2.
It is, but it's just, like, that tells you what people remember from these movies.
Oh, for sure.
It's like, yep, that's a thing.
Yeah, up until then, though, it's just, they do the thing right. I feel like they use a little bit of CGI very sparingly. They've got some practicals going on. They stick with a lot of just Natasha Henstridge being her, and then the occasional, like, interstitial shot of her, like, monstering out in daydreams or whatever. So, I don't know, like, it's sharper than it has a right to be. Like, they did this smarter than they needed to. And they definitely stacked the deck in terms of talent, even though, you know, they underused it.
Oh, actually, that brings up one other question I was going to ask. So do you know when, you know, she has like the hit and run sequence where she gets smacked and then like a guy with the improbable face is sort of like, yeah, I would be a helpful guy. And then they go back and he's like, you know, like, oh, would you like some cheese and wine? And she's like, I would like some sex in that little bath area. And then this, that whole sequence. When she says, she turns and he says, like, what's going on? He kind of is freaking out a little bit. And she says, I like you. And it makes me wonder if the guys who did the flappy demon lady from the first VHS movie, like, if they were big fans of Species, I wonder.
Yeah, that definitely had the same feel. And I can't hear that now without thinking of the other one.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's sort of like...
I could dig that.
Mm-hmm.
I like watching how many... like different interplays of gender they can do in this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like, just even in this first movie, you've got like, girl comes on super strong, then changes her mind, wherein nice guy turns into complete dickhead.
Yep. You get the tongue punch, mouth rape of death.
Yeah.
For rapey guy.
Well, then you've also
which got... again, like, they don't skimp on the gore.
Yeah.
Like, that's another thing that was really surprising and probably explains why this wasn't, like, a massive blockbuster, because it was too much nudity and too much gore, which is right in the wheelhouse for genre fans, but, like, you know, you're not going to get the broadest swath of America watching this.
But then on the other hand, you've got the guy who comes on really strong, gets her back to his house, and then is like, no, baby, let's slow down. Let's take it slow. And she's like, lad, oh, fuck. And you're like, perhaps not. So I love watching, like, a movie that is this, like, purposefully dumb can actually be smart about, like, talking about gender politics.
Yeah.
And what about this woman who has pretty much all the power all the time? And how
by the way, also, whatever power at any time.
Yeah.
She's definitely her own little deus ex machina of...
That just gets worse.
It does.
Like, any of my appendages could become black and poke you in the eye at any moment.
And I can control you psychically.
Jesus Christ, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, that... Yes, it does. But yeah, it's... there's hints of that here, but we're also not sure, like, what... Like, we're still learning about the existence of this type of a creature at any rate.
Right.
I'm impressed at how hard they stick to just calling it species.
Mm-hmm.
They never really call it the alien or the thing. Like, you know, they'll say it's an alien something, but like, they're always like, well, we're trying to create another species. And it's like, you're towing a line between using it as a proper noun and then the actual way it's meant, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, but they really stick to that through all three movies, which I was like, that's pointless, but impressive that you guys really stuck to your guns on that one.
Well, the, I also like the thing that they really play around with quite a bit, which is that, like, and Natasha Henstridge is, you know, is unbelievably gorgeous, but she's also kind of like an endearing actor in a way. Like, you get past her being just a total fox, and you just kind of watch her and stuff. Like, in the Whole Nine Yards, the movie Whole Nine Yards, for example, she's fantastic in that movie. She's absolutely fantastic in that movie. It's just so great.
She reminds me of Julia Roberts in the first two of these. Honestly.
How so?
I think just in the face.
Oh. Huh.
And the like, chemistry with the audience, maybe?
Oh, interesting.
Thing.
I guess I hadn't thought about that. I was sort of...
I just thought she kind of looked like a younger Julia Roberts, like, before she was able to dislocate her jaw and swallow things.
Well, and, like, well, and the reason... What I was getting at as far as the thing about, like, because she's, like, such an unbelievable fox, but, like, she has some good timing and there's some endearingness to her beyond just being, like, a Victoria's Secret model or something. But then, like, multiple times in this first movie, less so in the second one because they're all over the place, but in this first one, there are scenes where, like, you go, you're like, oh, well, she's the really funny kind of plucky character from Whole Nine Yards, and she's really great, and I like her quite a bit. Like, no, she totally has that lady tied up in the passenger seat of the car. like, it's sort of like,
because
she is not people. She's part people, but she's not people. You know, and they really play with that. Not just with the gender stuff, Josh, but you identify, you know, very well, but like, also with they play with the audience. Be like, oh, you think we're okay? We're not. No. This is survival.
This first movie doesn't forget to show that she has to learn how our entire world works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, which they just don't deal with in latter movies.
Dukes of Hazzard is her favorite television show.
Yeah. Like, they, you know, they show all this stuff, but like, you still watch her, like, see people exchange money for goods and services.
Mm-hmm.
And then you watch her get in a car and watch a guy kind of put it in gear a couple times before she tries to drive one. Like, there's a little bit of how do I dog, which makes perfect sense. And then after, like, the next movie's like, and maybe that's supposed to be some genetic memory or whatever, but like, yeah, then they're just like, we can do anything and whatever.
Well, I think Species 3 makes the point really hard that what Natasha Henstridge is doing in the first two is hard and subtle.
Yep.
Because there's none of that in from the Chicken 3.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Should we wrap on this
respect.
First one?
Respect.
I'm trying to think of anything else.
Work our way towards.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, Charles.
I was just going to say, I like the thing in the subway. What's that called? Under area. Sewer. And it's just like, and they're going through the thing, and they're like, the dead maintenance guy is like laying there, and Michael Madsen says, she must have come through here, and I just went, really? It's like, he ripped out his own fucking jaw. Like, I don't know, man, like, I just, you know, I really, really, I mean, I like all three. The three is really straining a bit, of course, by a long measure, but this first one is just a fucking blast. Like, I really enjoyed it. Like, crap dialogue aside, I'm totally being hypocrite because I get fussy about dialogue and stuff, but I just thought this is fun. It's just fun front to back, much bloodier than it had any plans on being if it was going to be normal. Although this first one made $100-something million, which is remarkable to me.
Yeah, well, it was by no means a flop.
Yeah, and that's probably why they made two sequels, you know. I just think this is a hoot. I mean, this will be one of those ones where, like, you know, at some point I'll see it in the couple dollar bin or wherever the fuck, and I'm just gonna snag a copy because this will be one that I'll want to watch from time to time because it is fun as hell. So, I would say, let's see here. Gosh, going first makes it tricky. So I would say, what do I want to do for the other ones? Let's see. Well, I don't know. I'm gonna use the Matt principle here, which is that I really, really enjoyed this. So I'm gonna go all the way up to 8. I'm gonna say 8 out of 10. You wanna dance? Who, me?
Yeah, you. No, with my father.
I'm Roger. Roger, see the name tag. Where's my fucking name tag?
They call me.
They call me a ventilated back of head.
It's like Species Rent would be fantastic.
Josh.
God. I did enjoy this quite a bit. Some of it, like I said, it's that combination of laughing with and laughing at the right points. Mm-hmm. There's nowhere where you're generally, like, genuinely worried about anything because it's a little too slight for that. But at the same time, it at least glances on some smart stuff, and it actually considers its premise and the ramifications of it and kind of at least makes an attempt to follow through on shit. And then, you know, just Forrest Whitaker being doofy and big tentacles going through things. So, yeah, I think it's big, big fun. I would give it a 7 out of 10 crazy Giger trains.
Yeah, there's not much more to say than what we've said. Because, yeah, it's dumb fun. And I think is probably best watched with a couple of friends and a pizza. Mm. You know, it's one of those movies. And
like two guys and a girl?
Yeah, exactly.
And a pizza place.
I mean, if you've got a place for pizza.
Cool.
The table. And that's where the pizza goes.
Nobody's going to watch two guys, a girl, and a table. Sorry, go ahead.
Anyway.
The situational shaker romantic comedy. Like, okay.
Yep. but it's fun. And it's the kind of thing that, like, you know, I keep using this as, like, an example, but I don't have this option. But, like, were this still to be a thing that you could just, like, turn the TV on while you're cleaning, this movie's perfect for that. Because you know you're not missing any dialogue.
Right.
But you can, when it gets louder, you can turn and look.
Yeah, you go, boobs, or, explosion.
Yeah, and, like, it's great. So, yeah, I think this is just a good kind of off-the-shelf standby that you could have around and have fun with. And like I said, it's probably, you know, best watched with a group of other like-minded horror fans. So, yeah, I'll go like a 6.5 out of 10. Six and a half out of ten. Natasha's Henstridged.
Yeah.
So there's more than one of her, I believe.
And a Henstridge and a pear tree.
Yes.
Cool. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Species 2. Oh, I should mention Especie.
Especie?
Species. Especie.
Oh, well, fucking A.
Los Especies. Mm-hmm. We'll be back in a moment with Species 2. So next up we have Species 2, or Especies 2, which is also known, apparently, as Species 2 Offspring and Species 2 Origins, which would make zero fucking sense.
Yeah, none of those, it's like, it's like that old NBC slogan, like, if you haven't seen it, it's new to you. And you go, yeah. And then about a minute later, your brain goes, well, hang on a minute. Like, let's go back and review. True. There's truth to this, but it's also fucking stupid, too. It can be true and stupid.
This is the neat beginning where you have the guy going to Mars and stepping out onto the Martian landscape and doing the, this is for all nations of the world, American flag.
Yes. Yeah, again, like, I can't tell if they're doing the real good irony and subterfuge for the type of humor, or if they're just tone deaf. And it's, you know,
Michael Bay is indistinguishable. Here, or, yeah, what are we doing?
Yeah.
But I love that those opening scenes, they, again, it's like, this they're looks better than pointless. It has any right to look.
Yeah. But I mean, like, they don't need that. They could have just had something happen in the lab. We have all this kind of information basically on Earth.
Right.
But, I mean, it's kind of neat.
I like the idea.
I guess you could get a slime monster because they go to Mars.
So the idea is that Mars used to be an Earth-like planet before the species got there. And, like, Mars was the first one to get the signal and mix the DNA, and now they're just sand. But there are, like, fossils with the DNA still in it, and when the astronauts bring the soil samples up, they get DNA'd, and you end up with a woman who's got the creature, you've got Senator Sun Dude who's got the creature, and you've got the one guy who... What was he, sick or something, and that's why they didn't...
Well, he had the recessive gene for sickle cell, I believe.
Oh, God, that was awkward.
Hmm.
I thought I was going to go back
to Africa was the awkward one.
It gets worse.
This is like, I appreciate that, like, that's actually, like, okay, there's things...
That is a legit thing.
Yeah, that's like, wow, like, good pull. However, I don't know this movie has earned the gravitas to not make that just seem really racist. Also, this is the one where we watch this and Megan goes, so this is the women in military is a bad idea movie, right? Because it's like, we have the most dangerous thing in the world locked up with only women around. Well, fuck. Like, which, it does make a certain silly sense in the world of species. Like, okay, we cloned Syl into Eve, which, barf.
Eve is an acronym for something, too. It's even worse.
Did I miss that? Okay. but they're like, well, so she doesn't get all, you know, AFR. We'll just, she literally never gets to see men. That's, we'll keep her isolated from men so her breeding instinct won't kick in.
Except she's watching
Dukes of Hazzard. And that was like the first thing we both kind of did the what? Yeah. Because it's, she can't be on any kind of male influence of anything, but she likes baseball. Mm. And Dukes of Hazzard, and it's like, so she's perfectly aware that men exist, and as far as we can tell, like, she can see people that look like her with this other part of a species that looks similar to her engaged in various levels of romantic whatnots from TV. You know, probably network television, I'm assuming they're not springing for cable in the government facilities, because that's not where my tax dollars go.
Maybe it's just as long as she can't smell their cunts, you know?
I think that might be kind of the whole thing they're banking on, is just, yeah, like, you know, just... Oh, fuck, is that Axe body spray? But, and of course, then you have, you know, dipshit, unnecessarily creepy-eyed general.
Yeah.
Who's all like, excuse me, I need to walk into this room. Why? My big swinging dick needs it. Mm-hmm. And, of course, she then sees a dude and is just like, aww. And...
Lady Boner.
Plot moves into, you know, sploosh. She's going straight to sploosh.
Extraterrestrial vulnerability experiment.
Oh, gross. Yep.
Yep.
So
we
made a fuck monster. Well, what do we do now? We killed it. I mean, better fuck monster.
if you've driven past the moon and Mars, you've passed fuck. Lord.
Well played, Charlie.
God bless that movie.
So we got scientists have remade Syl to try and find ways to kill the alien.
That will not exist unless they create it.
Well, it, just in case it comes from beyond the stars, because the transmission came from somewhere.
Yeah, sure, but that was not an issue we've had to deal with.
But I think once you know that it's a thing, like if one afternoon you kind of wander by the monkey cage and you see them sort of like assembling a dune buggy, like sort of like, well, I think maybe we should look back at those Charlton Heston movies with a new light. You know, it's like maybe something's changed in nature, and like they stumble, they fail. The DC movies should address that from within the Superman character, where like it's kind of like, you know, it's like, well, what would happen if you would do this thing? Like, oh, we're gonna be fucked. And it's like, oh, we should try to figure out how to unfuck the situation. Like, oh, well, you know, this will be good. Like, no, it'll be really boring. Like, oh, okay.
So what they did is
No, we're not going to gloss over the amazingness that is the idea of a bunch of monkeys building a dune buggy. Like
that's true. Like history is about to get awesome.
The arc that my tiny little heart went through just now. Because
well, the two little examples.
First, Charlie, you said you went to the zoo. I'm always like, so far good, on board. Two monkeys. Yes,
of course.
Like everything about this, I love. Building a dune buggy. What? Yeah. Is it my birthday? Wait, okay. Yeah. Never mind. But, and then you decide that you have to keep moving. I'm like, no. There are monkeys building a dune buggy. You would have to, from my cold dead hands, would you pry my phone as I filmed monkeys building a dune buggy?
You'd be handing him socket wrenches.
Are you shitting me? Yes. I'd be like,
take me. Actually, you want a metric one on that one.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's the best idea ever. And then like, the thing that happened
enough,
is, I was.
You get enough monkeys in a room, after a while, they'll build a dune buggy. That's how that works.
Yeah, but I was at peak monkey love, and then was reminded that that will never happen because no one gives car parts to a monkey. And so now my life is sad because I now, you just made me sad for a thing I didn't realize I've always been missing. Mm. And so thanks, Charlie.
And there's probably a German word for that. Sadness from a newly introduced thing.
I will tell you, just as a peek behind the curtain, I had whittled down in the game show of metaphorical examples in my head to monkeys.
Don't you tell me that you actually saw monkeys working.
The monkeys
dune
making
buggy.
Dune buggy was one, and another one was a viper whittling something with a knife in its the back end of its tail. Those are the two things I was down to. Those are the two examples in my brain. Let's go monkey.
No, you chose wisely. By the way, always go monkey. If you can be monkey, be monkey.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Camp Horror Show Hot Dog this year is going to take place at Peak Monkey Love.
Oh, wee, oh, wee, oh.
That's the millennial whoop. We were just looking at that. So, you got astronaut boy running around, boning all the ladies.
As I wrote, acquiring some.
Yeah. Knocking them up and starting a small army of children.
Yeah.
Who then have to go through a larval stage, which I fucking love.
Here's another problem. Okay, so here's a small army of children.
Youth.
I mean, does he walk past all the clothing to get them potato sacks to wear?
Yep.
What is that about? They're dressed like medieval peasants.
Wouldn't you?
They're modern. It's a modern. This movie.
Even
if it was just like an like it could be wearing dad's shirt and it can be a little big, but it should be a shirt.
Well, but okay,
why is it a bag? They're wearing pillowcases.
Let's go the other direction.
And sadness.
Let's go the other direction on that though. Like we know that these little fuckers grow fast, and like if you're going to Target, like I need all the kid clothes. Like you're just a single guy, but just don't ask any questions. Like, it seems like that just, there's a level of planning.
That's why you go to Walmart.
But
maybe the aliens have deep feelings about exploited labor.
Trust me, you get a lot less questions asked at Walmart versus Target.
I mean, the fucking kid shoes cost like $30.
Your kid shoes are expensive. Okay, so fine, fuck shoes.
It's like 2 or 3 days with these kids, though.
Yeah, that's kind of that was the feeling that I got. Like, I just sort of got the idea that like it was just like,
could we compromise on togas?
Well, they're kind of rustic toga, I feel.
I hate you so much, dude.
What's the matter with a rustic toga?
It's early
in the morning.
That's my new Zen cone.
Look, don't cry. Don't raise your eye. It's only rustic toga. Okay, this is my favorite of the series.
Is it really?
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Thank you, Charlie.
Because.
No, I think it's fair. Let me take that back.
I love the idea of. Well, we're just going to make another one so we can just keep experimenting and figure out how to kill her. And so we're just going to do that on a completely sentient human being who's then going to have discussions with the lady who's running the show.
It is troubling.
Which I thought was great.
She's clearly in great pain and reaching out to her mother figure.
Yeah.
Who's like, don't worry, baby. This will all be over soon, assuming it works and you die.
Yeah.
Which is the goal.
Otherwise,
experiment.
See you next week. Right?
Yeah.
Same time next week. It's pretty bad. You've got astronaut guy running around building his kid army. Just death sexing people, which is fantastic. At one point, he blows his head off, and it just grows back. And it really neat, like...
It's done decently.
It's like one more, man.
We're now post-Jurassic Park. Yeah. Like, CG was coming into its own a bit.
And instead of ending in just kind of CGI lameness, it ends in, like, dual monster suit fucking bone town.
Oh, yeah.
It does. Again, the...
So good.
Aforementioned prehensile nipples.
Yeah, the prehensile nipples, the guy's head just keeps splitting apart and doing shit. He's got like ribs on top of his ribs. Ah, I love it. Yeah, so this one made me the happiest by far.
There is fun to be had here. It is, I think the first film is still at least more confidently plotted than this one, if not confidently written.
Like, this one goes a little bug nutty in a way that it introduces a couple of extra wrinkles, but not so many like Species 3 that it just falls apart.
Well, Species 3, I feel like, oh my god, that's right. I'm looking at the plot summary on Wikipedia and I completely forgot, this is the one that has, Frankenstein's monster from Young Frankenstein.
Oh yeah, Peter Boyle.
Peter Boyle, yeah.
Thank you.
Peter Boyle saw the whole thing coming.
Yeah, which,
don't go
like,
to Mars! That I'm was telling a you, Ray!
Yeah, I told him. And I was like, oh my god, like, this series cannot help but throw actors at me. Yeah. I will be like, what are you doing?
Just overqualified actors.
The first one more competently plotted, if not very competently written. This one, I feel like they kind of went, okay, we'll change it up a little bit. It's the aliens. We'll add more monsters. Fine. That's okay. I do like, I think you pointed this out, Josh, that like, thank God we still have Natasha Henstridge in this one.
Yeah.
Cause if you have anyone that has, you know, a whit less charisma in that role, this falls apart entirely and becomes Species 3, I think, because you have to just actually give a shit about what happens to this weird fuck monster. And it's astounding they pulled that off for even two movies to me, but I think they get there. This one's not great.
By the way, James Cromwell is also in this.
He plays the senator.
That'll do.
Senator of Grumpy Pants.
Oh, and Richard Belzer is the president.
Of course.
Yes.
Look.
Give me the world where monkeys are building dune buggies and Richard Belzer's the president, and I will ask for nothing more.
Woof. That's,
I hope that he's also still Detective Munch somehow.
Of course.
So that it can tie into all of those other universes.
That immediately makes me think of, I just rewatched John Mulaney's first comedy special where he's talking about SVU and like talking about like how Ice-T, even though he's been in the SVU unit for 11 years, is still completely baffled by things. It's like, so what you're saying is the guy gets off on little girls wearing pigtails? And it's like, and it's like, he's like in his head, he just like plays this 4-hour loop of Ice-T just being like trying to come up with analogies for things like, yeah, like sex, trying to explain sex addiction to Ice-T. And it's sort of like, oh, you mean like when somebody gets too many scratcher tickets? You mean like when somebody drinks too much soda? You mean like, and he's just, Mulaney's talking about like, I could just watch that for 4 hours. But then I always picture when I watch that special of Mulaney's, which if you've never seen it, for God's sakes, get off your ass. It's amazing. I always think of like when Ice-T is delivering those lines from SVU, like when you see Belzer in the background, just like, it's like looking at the clock. A clock doesn't function. Shit. It's like, ah, damn it all. Anyway, there's a little size for you diversion. I think actually going back to the humor part of this just really fast for two in terms of the satire part of it, I wouldn't be surprised if that was part of the goal. I went and looked at, I was looking at, the director fellow for this one. And like, and he's, I looked down at his filmography and like, he has, Zorro the Gay Blade, if you've never seen that, it's fantastical. He's got Romeo's Bleeding on his thing, he's got the Washingtonians, Masters of Horror, and he's got some interesting stuff on there. So like, I wouldn't be surprised if they were trying to go tongue in cheek, partially because that scene with Mikael Williamson and Michael Madsen, where they both just like, dip under that metal wire and just sort of pop up at the same time, it's like, it reminded me of Dead Heat a little bit. It's just like, it's like, oh, these guys are fully aware of what they're doing.
But at the same time, it's not afraid to just punch the gore.
Oh, for sure. No, totally.
And the weird psychosexualness of things. Like, I think it pushes all of that shit farther than the first one did, but not into a way that I got tired of.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't mean it like a parent. Yeah, I don't mean like the idea that they're just sort of going, you know, like making the dumb joke. I just think that they are, there's sort of an awareness.
Well, they've seen the final cut of Species by now.
Yeah, it was like, we're aware of what happened in the first one.
Here's where we can push these things, because we know what we're doing. Yeah.
I do like the idea, though, that they've not learned these little glass enclosures that they put this woman in. Like, at some point, like, stop using glass, man. Like, just don't do that anymore. Like, stop doing that, because Michelle Williams broke out of the first one, and then she's breaking out of, like, whenever the hell she feels like it. It's just like, well, at some point, like, stop doing that.
Oh, I love when Eve goes running at the difference between laughing with and laughing at. When she's ready to bust out, she's running in slow motion at the wall, and right before she hits it, there's a slight jump cut, and the glass is already spiderwebbed, and then she jumps through it. But it's very obvious, like oh, we just like pause, put in safety glass that's already cracked, jump through, and like, love it. Love seeing a scene like that.
Oh, no, it's great. No, it's like, well, and also the thing when as she's running, too, when they, like, gun her down, like, all the little red beret fellows, red berets, don't really know why. Well, they got a brrrr, and then she's all bloody, bloody, like, poof. And she lays there, they're like, hey, well, good job, fellows. And then she just kind of, like, heels up, and then up she goes, and boom, off she goes. They don't think to, like, slow her down again to shoot her again. They're just like, well, fucking A, look at that. It's like, ain't that a thing? Huh.
Yeah, there are a lot of very poor decisions made in the course of these movies as far as how to handle an alien attacking or escaping you, often by ignoring the most readily available safety measure. This one, and again, like I apologize, this will happen for the next few weeks where my brain may be a little addled about these movies because a couple days of festival in between watching them and talking about them erases a lot. If I remember correctly, though, this one, not bad. Enjoyable, a little bit more what the fuck-y than the first one. But not the slog that 3 became. Like, 3 was the one where it's just like, I just have to finish this because it's for the show. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I would turn this off. But it definitely gets sillier. There's that weird kind of, like, love triangle with the other alien chickie. Right? That's this one.
That's the next one. The hot brunette lady.
Oh, okay, hot brunette. Okay, so this is just the one with the kids.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, so this one, see, this is what I'm talking about. So this one, yeah, like I said, you have your, it reminds me of that Batman the Animated Series episode where they have, like, the sewer king or whatever, and he has just all those little kids that steal food, and I was like, if they don't start coming back with trinkets and things, it's like,
tribute. Well, I love at the end that they go into the barn and all of the cocoons are, like, pulsing in different cool weird looking ways.
Yeah.
And they just straight up alien abortions for all.
Oh, yeah.
Which not a single one of those motherfuckers makes it out of the cocoon.
Yeah. Well, isn't that an interesting evolution from the first movie to this one? But this one are like, they look like kids, they're not kids. We're going to torture them a lot.
And so, yeah, this one is bonkers. It's not, again, not the story's not as strong. It does some fun things, but I felt like I was going, this is about where I feel like they're out of ideas. Mm. And so the knowing that there was one more to watch was now a bit foreboding.
What?
Well, it is the obvious play, right? To make it, okay, this time it's a dude.
And just, make it a dude and make it a little bigger. Mm. You know, add more nonsense.
Man, those costumes. The monster costumes.
The monster costumes get more and more troubling as we go along because they get more and more costumey.
Well, but
I like the end of this.
But in terms of transition,
end of this one's okay.
But in terms of transition, though, like I'm thinking of the other sequels that are going along. You know, like the ones that popped into my head are like was not with 2, but when I get into 3, the ones that kept popping into my head were Critters 4 and like Hellraiser 4 or 3, depending on your point of view. Where I just sort of like go like, well, if you squint, it'll kind of be right. Whereas this one, I think that they're still crafting it. I would still say that this one. Just those goddamn those pulsing cocoons and like the fucking nipple tentacles and just every goddamn thing.
Well, Giger's still in this.
Oh, no, for sure. I think this is still true to the concept. I don't think that they're just. I mean, they are clearly cashing in because the first one made some money. Mm. But I don't think that they've done the thing that like Hellraiser, for example, where you just go fuck it. Here's a totally different movie. Now add a fuck monster. Mm-hmm. You know. This is them, and they're in their world, and they're splashing about. Fine. But, yeah, I feel like this is it. Mm-hmm. I don't get that feeling from 3. Even though I do think it was specifically meant to be a thing, it doesn't fit. We should wrap on this one first.
I think the Critters analogy is the best one. Like, that's what I was thinking on the way over here. Critters is pretty good. It's a lot of fun.
No bones!
Critters 2 is my favorite, because it's the giant... weird ass, you get the giant ball of critters all around.
Yeah, that's so good.
So if you skipped Critters 3, which was like, meh, mm-hmm. and if it went straight to the one on the spaceship, That's what Species 3 is for me.
Yeah.
So, like, 1, pretty good. 2, my favorite. 3, not even trying. It's weird how 3 tries real hard to call back to all of the mythology of the first two.
Yeah.
While the fact that they have the right solid footage
amazed me. Because I'm used to, like, Evil Dead movies having to reshoot.
Right.
Because they no longer have the rights to the previous movies. And I was just like, man, they are tying this in real hard. And I'm like, oh, you're trying to desperately reach for some legitimacy. Yeah.
We'll talk about that in a bit.
Yeah. So what do we think on this one, guys?
This is my 7.5 out of 10.
Nice.
Death by giant penis.
This is fine. I didn't like it as much as the first. I think these things had diminishing returns pretty quickly for me. But, again, didn't hate it, so 5.5 out of 10. Seriously, someone put some clothes on those kids.
Burlap is still a material shit.
Burlap
makes it authentic.
Yeah, it's sort of a little chafy.
It is very chafy, trust me.
Lincoln
chafy, man.
Anybody would know. Maybe your silly ass.
Yep.
I like this pretty well. I'm afraid of the slight apologist role that I may take in the third one. Not to a major degree by any stretch, but I enjoyed this pretty well. So I would say, 6 out of 10. 6.5. Let's see if I can speak English. 6.5 out of 10. And yeah, can't get no booty on a boat.
Because death is like being on a boat.
Although that little transition was fucking classic, though. That it was like, and she's like, and she goes, ah! And he looks up and sees a reflection of, like, all these fucking FBI guys behind him. Ah!
That's yeah.
So improbable. Because you know how boats work? Every part of a boat is creaky. Every single part of a boat, like all the plastic and all the molded plexiglass and fiberglass and all that shit, every single thing on a boat creaks. It makes a noise.
Yeah, you don't really sneak up to people on a boat.
Yeah, you can't really, like, as much as they get a bunch of motherfuckers on one side, it's going to go, you know? It's like, that's what it's going to do.
That would have been the thing, just to show them, like, slowly sliding off the edge of the bed.
Just like, what the fuck? Oh. But anyway.
All right, so Species 3, Especies 3, we're going to...
Credits have taken a dive a little bit, unfortunately. I love the credits and the music in the first one.
Ooh.
Second one, they're trying. This one just sort of feels like they're slightly slow cousin that just gets the participation medal. Like, well,
we're fully in sci-fi original.
Yeah.
Yeah, they swapped the font.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, that Angular awesome font. Like, yeah, we can't get that. How about balloon letters? Yeah, the balloon letters are creepy. Balloons are fucking creepy. Yeah, they are, Chad. Okay.
And then a special appearance by Natasha Henstridge, it's important to say.
Oh, shit, this did actually premiere on Sci-Fi.
A very special...
I was making a joke.
This is why we didn't watch the fourth one, by the way, because not only was it 4 years after this one, it was rated PG.
What the hell are they going to do?
Well, it was on cable, yeah.
It's like, man, nah. At least this one kept the gratuitous nudity a bit. But, okay, so here's the thing. This is a movie that is slavishly devoted to its... predecessors, right?
Yeah.
Where you have them constantly explaining, well, there was Scylla, and then there was Eve, and now there's this one, and they keep going back and back and back to that.
Somehow this crazy secret alien monster that has existed twice is, its backstory is more intimately known by this character
right.
that we've heretofore never heard of, I think, right?
Yeah.
And it's, what?
But the deal is, at the same time it's doing that, it is absolutely but fucking the premise.
Yeah.
Because one of the first things you hear when Chicky hits maturity is she's ruled out our species as a sexual partner. You're like, you're done. You're mm-hmm. not doing species anymore because the whole thing is fuck monster of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like, let us be clear that there will be no fucking in this movie, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
She's not interested in dudes. And they're like, okay, well, then there's going to be the half-breeds. And like, well, dude, that's racist. I'm like, okay, well, there's going to be the mulatto aliens.
Like, that no.
She's also worse, not going to be interested in them as sexual partners. So there's really just a bunch of blue balls going on in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just going to limp. And there's going to be a fusion reactor at the beginning that's improbably matted in behind a dude. and it's, you know that it's Chekhov's fusion reactor.
Yeah.
At the beginning, I'm watching this with Jess, and she goes, what's the deal with the fucking fusion reactor? And I was like, oh, they're going to throw him in it at the end. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, it happened. This movie happened. The guy, the skeletal-faced doctor in it looks a little bit like my ex-brother-in-law. So that was a little weird for me.
Which one, Joshua?
That's all I got. Do you remember Scott Holly?
Oh, yeah, no, I remember him.
Yeah, same kind of gaunt, weird faceness.
In the context of this movie, though, who are you talking about?
Abbott, the doctor
guy. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I was like, what bus am I on? Where are we going? Like, what is happening?
Right. So, alien lady has eyes that glow blue now?
Yeah!
When she goes full monster, they, like, paint her tits black and put a mask on her.
A really terrible mask.
Like, it's not that bad.
The guy was like, I wanted to get away from Giger's thing.
It doesn't, it can't, it's literally, like, immobile.
Okay, so, sidebar. Ugly undercurrent of racism?
Yep.
In this movie?
Yep.
Oh, good. I went...
Delightful.
I turned to Jess, like, trying to joke around, you know, like, well, I'm sorry, I can't be with you because you're not a person. I mean, you have black skin and your hair is all big and mad and like, oh.
Yeah.
And like, oh, and your lips are bigger than mine. Your nose is very flat and broad.
It is very caricature-y of a black person.
Oh, shit, son.
It is. I was very troubled watching that. And I was like, oh, boy.
I'm glad that we're woke in some ways. Charlie, did you notice that
Which I'm trying to follow what you talk about. Like, which part do you mean?
I thought there was this weird undercurrent of, like, the species looking like a stereotypical black person.
Yeah, whatever Chicky species thing was, it was like, it was alien blackface was kind of what I got from it.
Wow.
So you got dark skin.
That's very surprising because I didn't get that at all. I just sort of thought it was like, we gotta make sure the stunt actor can breathe.
Sure. You know, and the thing is that's probably all rational, practical concerns.
Right.
But the end result is just like, that made me uncomfortable. And I was like, Megan, am I crazy? And she's like, no.
Dark skin, like, dreadlocks, wide nose, big lips.
Yeah, it was troubling to me. And again, I don't think that's the intent.
I don't think they were doing that.
I don't think so. But it comes off awkward.
There's a lot about, like, purebloods and half-bloods and shit.
Yeah.
It's just... But see, that's the thing. It gets too convoluted for me.
Well, but that's the thing, is they miss the point at times. Yeah. Like, you know, like in the first one, when you watch Michelle Williams eat the banana sideways, and it's like, because she doesn't know how to eat a banana... In this one where you get the little girl and she's like, you know, for the seafood lover and you, and she's like eating the lobster with all the stuff on there, you know, that whole bit. It's like, you know, she's like, he's like, utensils. And she just goes, she channels Nagi from Cemetery Man. She goes, yeah. And then they all go to the ground.
Yep.
And it's like, that works in the first one because that scene of Michelle Williams like eating a banana. Like, if you look at a banana, like, you know, we've said this is food. All right, food. Food goes in the mouth. Like, okay. Like, you wouldn't, there's no way you would work out
if
a banana.
If you've watched someone eat an apple, they didn't peel it, they just bit it. So now if you're handed an orange or banana, you might just take a bite.
Yeah, he's like, here's the thing, and then you go, all right, food that. And like, it makes perfect sense. But like, that worked in the first one, whereas with the lobster bit, it's like, I love her saying for the seafood lover, and you that amused me, but it was like, besides that, it's just,
because
it doesn't work the same.
But it's just, it's also just a joke from Splash.
Yeah, it just doesn't work. Mm. It just doesn't work in the same way. It doesn't work for
it's a joke
it's
straight, though.
Yeah, but it's the thing, yeah. It's played for, like, a little bit of malice.
Yeah.
30 years, 20 years after the fact that it was played for comedy with, like, Tom fucking Hanks, if I remember right?
Yep. Well, and then the other big thing that they run into, besides the lack of motivational fuck monstering, is that also, like, they make a big deal about the whole, like, was it the day the Earth stood still? Or no, War of the Worlds. They make a big play on the War of the Worlds thing. Which, the thing about it is with War of the Worlds is that if you just go walk up to an alien in the television, and then you just go, and that's, they're done. And, like, but the hot brunette lady, like, goes around, driving around, doing whatever else. Like, blonde girl goes around doing various things, whatever else, like, so there's a selectivity about them choosing that as a plot device, which I find kind of troubling. Because it's like, if you're going to do it, do a thing. If you're not going to do it, don't do a thing.
Well, there's like a kid from the kid from the Jeep.
Yeah.
Is deeply fucked when the doctor sees him.
Yeah, he's like a pollen. He's sick with like allergies.
Yeah, like dude on the train is like fine. He's just taking a bunch of drugs. And brunette girl has like a mild rash that gets a little worse.
Right.
Man. Okay, but fucking. But fucking.
That reminds me of a little side, just a really, really brief sidebar.
Want a hot meal without
last
a
week, deal? Last week, Josh, you said something about. You said, I don't even know what we're talking about, but you said erect campsite. But what it sounded like you said was erect campsite, and I just giggled like an idiot. And I don't think either one of you just like, yeah, we're leaving him at the truck stop.
No, I didn't catch it then, but I caught it on the playback.
Okay, good. Like, I was
he was right to
giggle.
Was in the room, can confirm, pitching a tent.
I'm in my late 30s, but if somebody says erect something on accident, it's like, I'm still going to giggle like an idiot. Like, I have that right, goddammit.
All right, can we talk about... So, brunette lady... She sends out a mass email to everybody in a college, in colleges everywhere.
Hey, I want to date biochemists. Talk biochemistry. Yeah, she's to like, me, baby.
I want to date somebody who must have encountered a genetic signature with blah blah blah. And here's me in lingerie, and fucking government guy's like, we need to find that girl in the picture, like. Yeah, cause that has to be her. That's how the internet works. If you have a picture that you say is you, it has to be you.
Well, to be fair, this is still only 2004.
And then like the email that she sends. Public
probably still believes that.
Hey, but the email that she sends looks like a fucking website.
It does, in fact. Like, yeah.
Everything about that made me angry and sad.
Yeah.
Cause I couldn't figure out what was happening, and then I figured out what was happening, and then I just wanted to stab somebody.
Oh, damn it. I just realized something. I look at my notes just now. I just realized that in the first...
Oh, you just realized you watched Species
3? No. I realized in the first movie, there's an actor in that movie whose name is Whip Hubley. Yeah, and it was like, and I saw that name in the credits, and I was like, yep, that falls into Charlie's name Hall of Fame. Like, Whip Hubley is fantastic.
So good old Whip.
So good.
And you can look at that. Dude, look at that dude's filmography if you get a spare second, like none of us have. Go read his... Go on IMDb, look it up. Like, dude's got an amazing, amazing career.
Nice.
Maybe it's that name is what did it.
Okay, yeah, he just wakes up every morning. He's like, time to get cracking. Like, never gets old, Whip.
Jesus Christ. Imagine being that kid, his kids are like, teenage age, and they're like, oh, God. All the time with this joke. Let's see. Why am I an apologist for this movie? I don't really know. Kind of going back through my notes, and I'm realizing I'm trying to remember my motivations.
I mean, you like it, you like it.
Well, I mean, I think maybe here would be my pitch for why. I think maybe it's one of those things where I've seen a lot of those sci-fi ones where they're just sort of like, you know, the dialogue in this is not great. The acting is not super particularly good, but it's sort of like, I've seen enough of the sci-fi movies where they just like, maybe they're just not trying, or like they never read it out loud. They never read the dialogue out loud or whatever else, or they don't, I don't know. There's something that just seems like it's missing to even make any of this shit work together at all. Whereas like in this one, like the science logic, the tech logic, the species logic, all those things are just all completely convoluted. But at the same time, like this one just feels like there's more effort than a lot of that schlocky sci-fi stuff. And maybe that's an unfair comparison because a lot of this stuff is just designed to be crap. But like, this one just feels like there was at least more craft involved. Even if it is so scattershot and inconsistent, it feels like there's more effort here than would be expected, which makes it all the more aggravating because it's sort of like, if somebody sat down and worked all this stuff out on paper, like there wouldn't be these, like there's no reason for hot brunette lady to show up and be all like, you know, like, T2, you know, so like it's not like you don't have to be the Robert Patrick angle bringing this whole thing in, and like talking about the half breeds getting sick and whatever else and all that. I mean, it's like there's so many divergent tangents that don't vibe together, but at the same time, I just like I maybe just watch way too many of those crap sci-fi movies, but like this just doesn't feel as crap as that, I guess.
No, I mean, it's definitely a more pleasantly scented fart. As far as that shit goes, right? Like, I would say it didn't really strike me as a sci-fi original. While I was watching it?
No, I was making a joke when I said that, and it was like, oh, shit. Because, like, honestly, it's like, oh, they're dipping down to that quality. Like, so but that means for sci-fi, this is actually farther along than you'd expect.
When you got the scene where the girl gets her arm lopped off by the train,
yeah,
so she can grow it back in grand fashion, and that looks dope.
That looked neat, yeah. I was actually like, okay, that's cool.
I like, you know, like, she walks around naked for a while, and then she, like, sits down with the dude to play chess, and, like, it's funny watching this guy be an idiot about this girl just because she's female, it seems like. Yeah. And so there, like, there's that bit of it, but then, you know, you gotta stop before they start getting busy. And it requires her briefly to be into him in a dumb way, which leads to more coitus interruptus. So, yeah. It doesn't dog. There's the scene where she goes to the frat house, which could have been a thing.
Yeah.
And it's just not. It's like they know all of the notes for Species, but not the music. So, yeah, I don't know. I better go.
You're arranging matches somewhere else.
Exactly. What else do we want to talk about?
For this movie?
Nothing.
Not much. No, I mean, that was
all right. And then also they just keep burying, like, people in the swamp, and they give Abbott a nerdy Viking funeral.
Yeah, that was also weird.
I liked that scene as just a scene.
I had
a moment
going, is this a fucking Viking funeral? Oh, no. Isn't that a lot of evidence? And then the guy just literally mentions the compounds he used.
Well, and pulls out a detonator.
And says, like,
yeah,
I think you'd appreciate this. Click. And we're like, cool, you made a sparkler. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's delightful. It gets so convoluted by the end of it. And just, like, we end with... We're, like, tossing around the eggs. And who's got the eggs? And I got the eggs. And scramble the eggs. And then they're like, hey, hand that over easy. And like, no. And
fuck you, I'm hard-boiled.
Right. No, yo,
screw you, I'm taking them eggs. They're going to be poached.
Well, it's if you top line it above the Patricia Arquette show, then they're over medium. So.
Ah.
Hey.
See, stupid puns are not the way your guys are purview. I'll get one in every once in a while.
By the way, when people ask me how I like my eggs, I just say, just give me some eggs. There's literally no way
there's
that you
no
can
wrong
make them
way to eat an egg.
And I don't know what all of the words mean. It's like, I would like some eggs. How would you like them? Surprise me.
Hmm.
I don't give a shit. Fucking poach
I do like that, though. Like, the little sentence, you just go, poof, you get an egg in the side of the head.
Cook them.
I got a surprise one. That's
perfect.
Nah.
That
hurts more than you think.
Oh, I get it.
So after all that shit with the, like, we think we see her fall, and... Okay, also they randomly switch back and forth between alien form and people form.
Yeah, which makes no
sometimes
sense.
Sometimes half and half.
No.
One of the dudes, the half-breed, has just an octopus inside of him.
Apparently.
Which, okay.
I mean, this one I thought was the one that was very much, like, the thing. Like...
They did some gross practicals
of
the autopsy
and
stuff. But the end of it where...
Uh-huh. Two heavy, like, too.
We keep going with, we gotta have the eggs, and then we gotta put the DNA that we have in the eggs and all that shit. And at the end, he's just like, yeah, I just used the eggs and made her a boyfriend, because you can do that with genes. And I made him infertile, because that's another thing. Easy to do with genes if you got the genetic thing.
Won't she be unhappy, or I mean, not unhappy, when she discovers?
Yeah, I was like, isn't she gonna be pissed about that?
That's tomorrow's problem.
Like, forget it, Jake. It's Chinatown. Like, okay. Fine. Yeah, this for me is like a 3.5 out of 10 lobster munching chick. It made me tired. There's too much going on, and yet at the same time it has that lack of energy and lack of affect.
It's really long, too.
So it's just like nobody involved really seems to give a fuck about this, so... It bummed me out slightly.
Yeah, this is one, and to be fair, I was not fair to the movie. Because I watched half of this, like, Thursday night last week.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other half, Sunday night after coming home from Fest. So the first 10 minutes of restarting it with, like, an hour left to go was like, wait, what?
Right.
And then going, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, 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 okay. And then watching going, God damn it, this movie's long. There can't be that much left. We were already halfway through it, and there's still this much. Mm-hmm. Like, this was just tired. It made my ass tired. And to be fair, I was already tired, so maybe I didn't give it its best possible viewing. So, you know, take my score with a grain of salt if you must. But this was a drag. There's, like, the one or two moments that are kind of fun, but overall, this just felt like a chore. It didn't... And the thing is, I'm not impressed or care about, like, the what they're trying to do titillating in the first couple.
Right.
We have the internet now. We have porn. This is not special. But at least that had a strong perspective. And when you scrub that out of it, then you go, okay, you're trying to turn a boob monster movie into an intellectual horror movie? Nope. That's not happening. Like, no, sorry. Like, maybe someone can do that, but these people couldn't. So, I'm gonna go, 3 out of 10. Three out of 10, random, alien infections.
Looks like you got an RAI, Bob.
Let's see here. I'm gonna say, I'm gonna go higher, because, like I said, I'm gonna say call 5 the mean average. Yeah. I'm gonna go a little bit higher than that, so I'm gonna say 5.5. I'm gonna say 5.5 out of 10. 5 out of 10. Speciesist has got to be one of the stupidest fucking things. Like, just on principle, he should have tripped that guy and been like, nerd. Like, just because, I mean, like, as an insult, for God's sakes.
Okay, I thought that was funny because, on the one hand, I rolled my eyes a little at the, like, okay, obvious, like, satire of colleges and, oh, yeah, it's funny people caring about terminology and shit. But at the same time, I also took a class in graduate school that was like, environmental lit, in which we were taught the term anthropocentric, which would mean that the literature we were reading was written from favoring the human race point of view.
Yeah, oh God, I remember you took that class, Josh. You were so mad about that one.
You can have anthropocentric ideas that would color your ability to perceive things, and, you know, you'd have to be careful about that shit. Like, taking a picture at the Grand Canyon, people talking about how shitty that is, because you just put a frame around what nature made, and then you're saying that, look, I did this beautiful thing, it's so anthropocentric. It's like, this is where I get off the literature train entirely and fuck everything forever.
I remember you took that class, Joshua.
Creative writing degree and never used
it. I remember you, because you were just fucking furious half the time. You come back like, oh, that's fucking, just like, just very, just sort of venomous. So it's just like to have that guy just like brush past him and be like, it's like speciesist, like, it's just like, it's like, man, I need fucking Stifler and those guys from American Pie to show up and just be like, kind of rib on that guy a little bit. It's just like
wedgies for all.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And a bit of pale ale, but we should wrap this shit up.
Cool. We'll take a brief break and we'll be back with our films for next week.
Sure thing.
You all right there, buddy? Okay.
His accent. No.
Robert Loggia.
Robert Loggia.
So, for next week, we're going to get back into kind of the Netflix deal, because we've got busy people without the wherewithal to go tracking down movies all over creation, and because there are some real damn good movies on Netflix right now. And some real weird ones.
Yeah.
Yep. So we're going to watch Baskin, which we have been looking to watch.
I'm so excited.
I'm very excited about that.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Next week we are going to watch the sequel, Robbins. So
that's not true. You make things up.
So Baskin, second one is They're Watching, which is a kind of witch hunt in England some thing. And then we're going to watch the latest from John Carpenter called The Ward. Bard is the Ward. And then... Our short is called The Pig Child, which we will be linking in the show notes. And you can watch all three of those. So Netflix, Baskin, they're watching The Ward and The Pig Child.
It's just a delightful collection of titles.
This entire time. The Ward. Baskin, they're watching The Ward.
Josh, that reminds me. You will be very proud to know that my child and now a couple of his friends have been, like, every once in a while, they'll make each other laugh by going, hool, hool. It was great. I told Conlon, and he just giggled forever. And now a couple of his friends said that. Like, they were just like, there's like, wool. Like, oh, man, that's.
It's a nice sweater. Is it wool? It's a wool sweater. Look, I've been Josh this entire time, and I'm just going to say bye.
I am Matt, as far as y'all know. If you're local or going to be local and want to swing by the Renaissance Festival, come see me. Say hi. It's always fun to meet folks, and I usually meet one or two people each year. So I look forward to that. Maybe it's you. And if you come to one of our improv shows, you can, when we ask for a title of a movie, shout out some obscure horror movie that only I will know and thereby make me look very funny, which happens every now and again. I love that. So if you do come to the festival, Wise Fools Improv, Witchwood Stage, 11, 1, 30, and 5 each day. And yeah, come have fun with us. We've been having a great time. So with all that said, I'll just say I'm sorry.
This is Charlie Dunn Austin. Take care. Have a good week, and then we'll talk towards you soon. Bye-bye.